Our scripture this morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew, 25th chapter, verses 31 through 45. Now when the human one comes in his majesty and all his angels are with him, he will sit on his majestic throne. All the nations will be gathered in front of him. He will separate them from each other, just as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right side, but the goats he will put on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who will receive good things from my Father. Inherit the kingdom that was prepared for you before the world began. I was hungry, and you gave me food to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothes to wear. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me." Then those who are righteous will reply to him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you a drink? When did we see you as a stranger and welcome you, or naked and give you clothes to wear? When did we see you sick or in prison and visit you?" Then the king will reply to them, "I assure you that when you have done it for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you have done it for me." Then he will say to those on his left, "Get away from me, you who will receive terrible things. Go into the unending fire that has been prepared for the devil and his angels. I was hungry, and you didn't give me food to eat. I was thirsty, and you didn't give me anything to drink. I was a stranger, and you didn't welcome me. I was naked, and you didn't give me clothes to wear. I was sick and in prison, and you didn't visit me." Then they will reply, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and didn't do anything to help you?" Then he will answer, "I assure you that what you haven't done for one of the least of these, you haven't done for me." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. All right. We are moving to our climactic conclusion of our series on the household of the poor this morning. This is the last teaching Jesus is going to give in Matthew's gospel. Can you feel it? Can you feel the people standing on edge, hanging on to each word that Jesus has taught thus far, and waiting in anticipation for what will come next? This parable is a tricky one. It is one of the most interesting yet frustrating parables that Jesus has ever taught. New Testament scholar Amy Jill Levine once jokingly remarked, "When you get to heaven and you're not sure where to stand, just get in the sheep line." Paul Anderson writes about this parable, "The parable of the sheep and the goats is one of the most moving yet vexing among the teachings of Jesus. This parable is meant to make us uncomfortable, but there is also hope there for us to fill up on. As we make our way through each verse, we are transformed in the way that we experience our relationship with others, and we are called into action. With that, I do have some good news this morning and some not so good news. For those of you who are sitting on my right, you're in good shape right now. For those of you who are on the left, you may want to just make your way over and just kind of squeeze in. We may make some room. In all seriousness, though, this parable, unique to Matthew's gospel, can frustrate us. But there is so much to learn. Our response from this parable occurs when we, as a community, we as a church, look through the eyes of Jesus and see who the least are and how we can serve them. Our text begins with both apocalyptic and eschatological imagery. Jesus is proclaiming that he will sit on the throne of glory with his angels by his side. Jesus, who faced verdict from the crowd, judgment from Pontius Pilate, and death on the cross will now be the one who is judge and jury of all nations. Imagine billions of people standing together before Jesus, material rich with material poor, individuals who have had so much blessing and abundance of material wealth in their life, right beside someone for whom life has been a struggle, for those who have had so little. No more class divisions, everyone standing together as equals, ready to face judgment. As we continue our movement through our text, Matthew comments that Jesus will then separate all of these people into two groups: sheep on the right, goats on the left. Just like a shepherd divides their livestock, Jesus is going to separate all of us. So James and Margaret have already done it. So we're going to move some of you over here from the left. We're going to put some of you here on the right. We're just going to move you over there. We're just going to get everybody separated so that we're on the right side. Once that has happened, Jesus will then look at both groups. To the ones on his right, he will say, "Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." Both groups meet this with great surprise. The sheep on the right look at Jesus, and I can imagine them saying, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food? When we saw you thirsty and gave you drink? When was it that you were a stranger and we welcomed you? When did we see you naked and give you clothes? When did we take care of you when you were sick? When did we visit you when you were in prison?" The sheep are doing what they see through Jesus. They are acting with compassion. They are showing compassion to those in need. The sheep are doing what they are called to do. Now, though, they claim that if they had only saw Jesus, they would have ramped up their efforts even more. They probably would have put in some overtime. Jesus' response to these sheep are, "Truly I tell you that just as you did it for one of the least of these who are members of my family, my brothers and sisters, you did it to me." Now, the left is standing off to the side. I can imagine a little squirmy wondering what Jesus is about to say to them. Well, from the text, we see that the response is less pleasant and is quite the opposite of the sheep. For the goats in their indifference did not feed, did not provide drink, did not offer welcome, gave little to no clothing, and did not always visit the sick or imprisoned. The goats also attempt to make the plea, "But Lord, when did we see you? For surely if we would have saw you here, we would have came. We would have gotten out of our indifference and we would have helped more often." Jesus' reply is the same, that what you did not do for the least of these of my family, of my brothers and sisters, you did not do for me. I've learned so many things in my 3 years at seminary. I have read and studied both Old and New Testament. I've wrestled with theology, and I've suffered through Hebrew and Greek. But the most important thing I've learned are relationships. The relationships that I have created with my seminary family, with my new church family who welcomed me and my family in 2 years ago with open arms. And the relationships that I have made with people around Decatur are some that I will remember and cherish for the rest of my life. This theme of relationship comes in verse 40 when Jesus says, "Just as you did to the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me." Now, we can debate upon who the least are. One argument says that the least might have referred to first century Christians, especially the Christian missionaries who would go from town to town preaching and evangelizing and would need sustenance in the form of food or water or shelter. There is also the other argument that says that the least refer to all human beings who are in need, not just those who may be in some kind of preaching or evangelization service. I tend to agree with the latter statement that the least are all those of us who have a need. However we or you or us classify the least, what is important to note is that the entire world will be judged in this text by the compassion that they showed to the least, the members of the family of Jesus. I want you to take a second and think about your family. Part of my family is here this morning on that third pew. Some of you may be sitting with your families right now. Think about how much you love and you care for those individuals. Now, take a look around you, beside you, in front of you, behind you, and look at the people around you in the pew. Your church family. The people that you see on Sunday mornings, do you consider them your family? Now, let's step outside the church building and let's go across the street. Do we see the people in Walmart, Melton's, or the Medlock Laundry as members of our family? Would we make room and open our arms wide to welcome them inside? There are some serious pastoral care and outreach opportunities happening in this text today. We have the chance to create and foster new relationships, a chance to grow our family. Now, Jesus tells us that the least are not just those who are material poor, but sometimes the least can be those who are in spiritual poverty, some who are lacking companionship. Our challenge is making room for all of the least that we encounter. I have been blessed to live in the United States my entire life. I have been blessed to live in a country that has such an abundance of great material wealth. But with that great material wealth also simultaneously comes a place where many of the least are gathered. As we got together this past week for Thanksgiving, we all feasted. We all gave thanks and feasted. During our feast, millions of Americans suffer through hunger and famine. Polluted rivers, lakes, and streams are leading to a decrease in the supply of clean drinking water. Shrinking health insurance markets and rising medical costs are laying deep financial burdens on many families. And I was fortunate enough to turn my heat on in my apartment last night while several people around the Decatur and Atlanta area wonder each night where they're going to go for warmth. And one out of 110 adults in America reside in prisons, many left alone behind steel bars as the world passes by around them. As we look at our neighbors in the pews and in our larger community, who are we seeing? Do we see Jesus among them? Do we see the Jesus who ministered to social outcasts, ate with sinners, and healed the sick? Do we see the world through the compassionate eyes of Jesus beckoning us to remember our call to service? I was walking with my children in downtown Decatur one day. We had just left Waffle House after breakfast and turned on Church Street and were passing the MARTA station. A man called out to me and then approached me. He explained that he had not eaten in 2 days and was very hungry. Offered to buy him food at Waffle House, and we made our way back. We got there, I went inside, I ordered it, I brought it out to him. He said, thank you, and we were on our way. As we walked home, though, I got this feeling inside of me, a feeling that would turn into lament. I lamented that I missed the chance to get to know this man, to learn his name, to learn where he was from, to learn what goals he had in life. One thing I did not understand that I understand now, as this man was my brother. He was part of my family. This act of service was not done out of pity, but out of concern for a brother in need. Not because I needed credit or recognition, but it was part of my nature to help someone in my family out. I wanted to give this brother a hand up instead of a hand out. I wanted to make room at my table for him. For when we are able to make room at the table for all the least, We are making room for Jesus. So I have great news for all of us this morning. This parable is service in action. Food, water, clothing, hospitality, and companionship. These are gifts that are necessary to our communal life. The great news is we are abundantly equipped with these gifts, and we are encouraged to share them freely. We all have something to share, whether it's food or water, or a compassionate and open heart, or an empathetic ear. As our call to reconciliation in our bulletin reminds us, there is enough. There is always enough. We should be encouraged by this teaching from Jesus this morning because we are called to serve in ways that are within our grasp and in our means. We don't need a theological education or a deep understanding of the mystery of the Trinity to find Jesus in our context. We just need a willing and open heart to serve. The question that has been on the minds of many Christians for thousands of years is, when will Jesus return? But my question for you all this morning is, what if Jesus is already here? Because I believe that we see Jesus all the time. We see Jesus in the homeless man who is on his third day without eating. We see Jesus in the new refugee family coming to a country for the first time, looking to find their community, looking for their welcome. We see Jesus in the woman who does not have a coat or a blanket to make it through those long, cold winter nights. And we see Jesus in the prisoner who longs to see their family just one more time. We see Jesus suffering right beside them, along with them. And we should not wait for them to come to us. We should go to them with compassionate arms wide open, ready to welcome them into our family, ready to welcome them home. Amen.